gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. Why?
Why?
Because it's bike riding day. I have new man candy to go bike riding with. Nathan,
yeah.
Over there. Craig, our friend Craig.
You should be getting...
I have man meat and spandex to go riding with later.
You should be getting ad money from Volvo in Cannondale.
Yeah, let's get on that. Let's get... Travis, call them right now. I'm going to take my shirt off unless I get some money right now from Volvo and...
Cannondale.
Right. Okay. And also, Max and Fred just got groomed yesterday, and so... It's Fluffy Day here at the Stephanie Miller Show as well. Mm-hmm. It's Fluffy Day here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at that fluffy unicorn. He's so fluffy, I'm going to die.
He's so fluffy.
That's so fluffy.
We'll see them later. All right.
One's right here.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's guarding you. Goodbye. And this is a very exciting day.
What?
Carl Frisch live in studio.
Right there.
He is out here in L.A.
Yep.
He will be live in studio. Dexter is not coming.
No, but his new boyfriend is.
I know. Dexter would have been a Scooby Snack for Max and Fred.
Yes.
live in hour number two and live in hour number three, Jackie Schechner, healthcare extraordinaire. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Dean Obladee Oblada, comedian extraordinaire. So it's a big
He's also a columnist for the Daily Beast.
He's a comedian.
And a lawyer. And so he's going to give the Obama administration advice on how to counter-sue boners.
Exactly. That what's
lawsuit.
Not fun about that?
Yes.
All right. And otherwise, I am in a happy clappy mood. You
right.
know why?
Right.
Because I'm tired of naysayers. I'm starting with a love letter to the president from Tommy in Columbus. Steph, by the way, he killed Bin Laden, got the man behind. Because I'm sick of all this, the border and everything is his fault. Everything. By the way, he killed Bin Laden. He got the man behind Benghazi. He got Syria to get rid of its chemical weapons without getting any American troops killed. We added 288,000 jobs last month. President Obama has done and is still doing a great job. But if you listen to the media on the right wing, he's a failed lame duck with poor poll numbers. And he needs to be impeached because children from Central America are trying to escape violence in their home countries. Thank you, Tommy. And then he sends a helpful graph. We'll put that up. I have dog hair on my microphone. Pardon me. Okay.
You have dog hair everywhere.
That was... Some days I realize how pathetic my own life is because I start the show and there's dog hair hanging down from my baseball cap and I'm... Okay. I'm fine. Okay.
You're a mess.
I'm not done.
What?
Here it is. Look. And some of these numbers have not even been updated. 5 years of Obama. January... See? There it is. Look. There's hair on my baseball. I'm a sad little woman. But look at this graph. It's weird. You know what it is? It looks like I'm being in a car wash. I just see little hairs hanging down. Peggy Noonan's cartoon canaries are back. Okay. I'm fine. Okay. Okay. 5 years of Obama. January 2009, the Dow in January 2009 was at 7,949. Today, it's 16,459. I think that's actually higher.
It's higher.
17-something.
Yeah.
Right. This was, I don't know when, a few weeks ago. January 2009, unemployment rate 7.8. Today, of course, 6.1. GDP growth in January 2009 was minus 5.4%. Today, it's 4.1%. Deficit GDP, it was 9.8% in January of 2009. Today, it is at 3.3%.
Mm-hmm.
Consumer confidence in January of 2009 was 37.7. Today, it is 78.1. Oh, those pesky facts. Well done, Mr. President. Let's post that. Update the numbers because they're even better than they were. You're wondering how you're going to post this.
How am I going to post that and update
I'll
the numbers?
It's in my computer.
How am I going to update the numbers? It's a graphic.
Just do it. Just do it.
You're fired.
Okay.
All right.
I've heard that so many times.
It's always an empty threat.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like you could get anyone else to do this job. And I told Travis that we have to get Joan Walsh on the horn, whom I love, but what is going on with Chris Matthews? This is what I don't get. I was talking to Michael Tomasky yesterday about the piece someone sent me about progressives need to break up with the Democratic Party. We need to blah, 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 no Hillary. I'm like, oh, really? At a time when the Republican Party and the Tea Party are just ripping each other to shreds, we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot.
No, we should not.
And so I don't know what's going on with Chris Matthews. I don't know whether he's just trying to be a contrarian, but he was like going off on Hillary Clinton the other night, 2 days ago. And Joan Walsh was on with him, but he's like, she's for when she was a 27-year-old lawyer.
Oh, my God.
She's got on this tape, and she's saying this. And Joan's like, she was 27. Okay, she had to. And
she was
thing,
a public defender.
She was required to take the case of this rapist. But you're like, really? We've got people on MSNBC taking Clinton to task for something. And I'm not saying it. Look, I mean, it's interesting because, by the way, according to Donald, now he says his wife is a pig. Yesterday
now
was
now a warning.
What? Yesterday he was crying at love of his life. Did you see that? She tried to approach him, and he said, "Get away from me, you pig." He's somewhat unhinged. I don't
know. I think he's lost his marbles.
You think so?
I think he has.
Yeah, I like Jim's the whole little... Jim said that he missed the first day of court because he was making toast and cleaning his toaster. And forgot.
Because he did miss the first day of court.
No, I want toast.
In a trial that he said he was going to bury the NBA.
Right.
He just missed it.
You know what? He probably has he's old like me. He has a paper calendar. Put it on the wrong day.
If you're going to bury the NBA, you probably should show up to court
every day.
You know
what? Or maybe his pig wife, maybe, white-outed when it was supposed to be, just to trick him.
Because she's a pig like that.
Oh, boy. This thing is... All right, we'll talk about all that later. Anyway, my point is... No, but I was saying, again, did it sound great? She was caught on tape when she was a 27-year-old lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as Joan kept pointing out, like, she was required to take this.
Right.
And of course, does it sound great? Latonga, she laughed at one point. But again, you go, are any of us, would we like everything we've ever said privately to be caught on tape? I mean, it's just...
Right. And
the fact that she's 27 and it's a case she had to take, and this is what we have?
And when you're...
And we're helping them?
Yeah.
People on MSNBC are helping the right wing.
And she was doing that at work. And even if you're talking about serious stuff at your job, you might crack a joke or two.
By the way, everybody does. I got a lot of lawyer friends. Like, that's... They talk a lot of smack when they're, they laugh about cases. They talk about...
Right.
And of course it looks horrible now, but... Taken out of context, yes. Right, right. I'm just saying, this is almost every private conversation I've had, I wouldn't want public. I'm just saying, and because you know.
Yeah.
Just the commercial breaks in here. We got to make sure the microphones are off.
It gets a little spicy.
Yes, it does. Spicy little bouillabaisse in here. That's my question is, what is going on? With not just the Republicans, that's predictable, but the mainstream media, the punditocracy. There's the other thing Chris blurts out yesterday. He has Sherrod Brown on, who we love.
Right.
And he has this whole meme, like, Democrats can't, connect with real people. I'm like, what? We're the only party doing anything for real people.
Exactly.
And he's like, well, you went to Harvard, but you hide it well.
What does that mean?
Really? You have to pretend you're a dummy like Louis Gohmert? You went to Harvard, but you hide it well? What does that mean? We'll see if we can get Joan Walsh on and find out what.
Yeah.
WTF? What is going on? And then the right wing loves this when a Democrat again helps
Henry Cuellar.
Yes.
Yes, I know. I saw that.
It's a Democrat that it is saying.
We've had him on the show.
Yeah, I know. Is this Obama's Katrina? And I'm like. Really? Really? This border crisis?
A
White House official defended President Obama's response to the Texas border crisis, rejected the notion it could become the president's Katrina. It doesn't make sense to compare this to a natural disaster. She said this is a humanitarian situation that we've been on top of from the very beginning. So, Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat of Texas, said he hoped Obama's decision not to visit the border wouldn't be his Katrina moment. And the president said exactly what we were talking about yesterday. He said, this isn't theater. I don't need a photo op. And that's exactly what they would have said. That's exactly what the right wing would have said if he did go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the problem with the degree of partisanship we've gotten to. Anything they would have said it was a stunt, it was a photo op, oh, he's doing theater instead of doing something.
Yeah.
John Tester, thank God, Democratic Senator John Tester defended him. He said, I don't think it's necessary, quite frankly. He said the same thing you said yesterday, Chris. He said, There's a number of logistical and security issues that would likely make this visit difficult. He said, I think he's got a good grasp of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyway, I'm sorry, you have the president, yeah, saying that.
I'm not interested in photo ops. I'm interested in solving a problem.
Good. Someone has to be the adult.
Let's see. The White House spokesman said Obama mobilized on the problem once it became clear months ago that the influx of undocumented children would be higher than in previous years. She decried those who tried to turn the situation into a political football and cited the president's upcoming meeting on the border situation with community mm-hmm. leaders in Texas.
And can I say, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, also of Texas, had a really good point yesterday.
That's where the surge has come. It's almost like the crisis in Syria generated this enormous crisis on the border of Jordan. I don't think in any way you can fault the administration for this.
That's a really, really good point.
Yeah,
a crisis happened in other countries that's affecting our border.
Right.
You can't fault President Obama for that.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, and look at it. Glenn Beck is getting death threats for offering to go help and saying we have to have an open heart. And, you know, so now his crazy right wing has turned on him. I mean, this whole thing. I'm reading it going, wow, I'm agreeing with Glenn Beck. But he said, you know, we have to be good or we can't be great as a country. You can't, I mean, if you've watched any of these, the kids on TV or seen the pictures, they're little kids. I mean, they're this big, some of them.
When has a Republican ever felt the urge to be good?
Listen, Glenn Beck is trying a new shtick, but whatever it is,
something's going on there. What?
I applaud it. Maybe a crazy right-wing thing isn't working.
Is it a trap? Don't fall into the trap.
I could. I'm not that bright. I'll just shunk right into the bear holes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The what?
That was leaves and whatever on top. That was nothing.
Is there a such thing as a bear hole?
No, but I was hoping you'd let that slide.
No, I'm not going to let that slide. 17
minutes after the hour. Bear hole? I meant a trap, like a thing that you walk into and it's okay.
I know from bears, and there aren't bear holes. Well, never mind.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I just realized how you could have me declared mentally incapacitated and seize control of my trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entire $12 that's in there.
I'm learning a lot from that.
You know what
that.
It is? Because all you have to do is record me talking to Max during the commercial breaks.
What
did you hear?
What kind of lips does he have?
He is a monkey man with rubber gorilla lips.
I'll show people on camera later.
Hey, Nathan, does she really say that?
Yes. And I realized because he's laying right there. Because the new air conditioning unit's there, and I said, who's the smartest polar bear in the zoo? Max is. Monkey Man. I would not be surprised if by the end of the show, John Finkelstein has not seized control of this show.
It's coming.
And rightfully so. This is clearly not a person. Oh, my God, did you see the one doctor that evaluated Donald Sterling? He said she was drunk.
Sterling said that.
Yes.
Not the doctor.
No.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to CJ in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, CJ.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
I was calling about the lawsuit that Boehner is planning on filing against the president.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, it's about him making changes to the ACA or Obamacare without their approval since they passed it. As is, I didn't know whether the president can make changes without Congress's approval or not. So,
that's not the only reason he cited. He just sort of said general, you know, lawless.
Yeah, well, that's one general. Of the things. But to me, that would be the major thing because they did approve it. So, I understand you're going to have a lawyer on later in the show to talk about it. If you could ask him that question
in about 5 minutes, right? Yeah, no, it's every legal expert I've listened to said this is obviously completely groundless. It's a, you know, it's a midterm stunt.
Right.
It is going to waste taxpayer money and time, just like all these Obamacare repeal votes have done. You know, and it's and I love that that's become the moderate position of the Republican Party is just suing the president, because of course, I don't know, Caribou Barbie and
whatever
Eric Erickson, all those people want to go right to impeachment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some people, and I know there's some people on the fringe who want to go right to execution, of course, for treason. So, you know, really, the moderate position is just impeachment for not really, just a general sort of
It seems like a couple of months
blackness,
ago.
Blackness, I'm going to say.
It seems like a couple of months ago, Glenn Beck would have been for you
right.
know, execution.
Right.
But he's different
right.
now.
Yes. I don't know what's happened to Glenn Beck. It's very startling.
Yeah.
My world has turned upside down. Yeah. John Boehner says he disagrees with calls to impeach Obama.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's being moderate. This is what's become moderate Republican Party impeachment for nothing in particular.
Right.
Just.
Yeah.
They've been saying that since he took office. It just. I mean, you know, you had the birthers that were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he rejected calls from several conservatives to impeach President Obama. He, Boehner was asked about Sarah Palin's assertion that House Republicans should impeach Obama rather than sue him, as they're trying to do. Boehner responded simply by saying, I disagree. And she makes me want to drink more.
The contempt he had on his face when he said that was
See? Everyone
amazing.
Hates being asked, what do you think about the things Sarah Palin said? That's probably why I'm not. I don't get on MSNBC anymore, because I think Ed asked me that once, and I said, "Well, I think she's the stupidest bitch that ever lived, and her voice makes me want to pour hot coffee in my what?" Then suddenly a producer in my ear. I don't know. Too much.
And then suddenly a hook came in.
Yeah. Who knew they had those in TV?
Dragged you off stage.
I thought those were with vaudeville. Too much, over the top, too impolite for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Palin derided the lawsuit on Tuesday and reiterated her belief that Republicans should push for impeachment instead. She said to Sean Hannity, you don't bring a lawsuit to a gunfight.
The hell?
She's
dumb.
And there's no room for lawyers on our front lines. Oh, dear God. That is spectacularly dumb. That's, you don't bring a lawsuit to a gunfight. She's, that was, okay, that, I guess she was trying to do the whole knife to a gunfight
right.
thing, but that didn't really. And then she went right to what war analogy, lawyers, no room for lawyers on the front lines. Wow, you are
an idiot.
Stupendously. Incredibly dumb. Hey, here's good news. There's a new poll that says most Americans want Sarah Palin to shut up.
Yeah, good.
A new poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal, NBC News, and Annenberg. Out of all the political figures that should pipe down just a bit, which one should do it immediately? Answer, Sarah Palin. Overwhelmingly Sarah Palin, says America. 52% of surveyed American adults want Sarah Palin to be quiet.
To drink a hot cup of STFU?
Pipe down. Notably, 4 out of every 10 Republicans, that's nearly 40%.
I've heard.
Said Palin should quiet down. 2/3 of Democrats and a majority of independents agreed with the sentiment. Also in the polls, 42% would like Dick Cheney to drink a big foamy cup of STFU. And Newt Gingrich, frankly.
Frankly.
Frankly, 39% of Americans would like him to shut up.
Frankly.
Frankly, shut up.
Frankly.
Yes. Patricia in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just love your show.
Thank you.
I would like to talk about and give a shout out to the people in Dallas. Yesterday, when the president met with Governor Perry, he also met with some religious leaders and people in the community who are willing to take in the children.
Right.
And, you know, Texas sometimes gets a really, really bad rap, but I just want to say that people here, you know, are really behind the kids, and we would like to take them in.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, honey. Listen.
And she'll listen to her answer off the air.
Apparently she will. Dean Obladi-Oblada, coming up, comedian extraordinaire, columnist for the Daily Beast, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is pleased. The young male has great potential for fatherhood, she feels. He'll provide well for her cubs and stick around long after she is fat and bloated.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carl Frisch on his way in, live in studio today. He is out here in L.A. Very, very exciting. Jackie Schechner, live in studio, hour number three. But now, hey.
Here he comes, yes, it's Dino Badala. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Dino Badala.
Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Stephanie. After watching you on CNN Sunday, I'm glad I'm on your side.
Yay!
That's what I can say. I'm just glad that I've
Thank
never
you.
Angered Stephanie and the smackdown that you put down on Carly Fiorina. How do you pronounce it?
Fiorina. Who knows?
Fiorina. I'm half Italian. I should know that. You're right, Fiorina. That was great stuff.
Thank you.
You know, I loved it. It was funny. You know, it's weird to see, like, non-funny people hearing someone say something funny, and they kind of look at you while people at home are laughing.
Right.
You know, they just look like...
She was not amused.
I don't understand. Compute. Funny. Doesn't work.
And when she brought the prop, and I said that who knew she'd be the carrot top of the panel after the thing, she said, I didn't get that. I was like, he's a prop comic.
Yeah.
That was great. When you said carrot top of the panel, like, instantly she's like, I don't know what carrot top is. I don't know anything about humor. I just know. You know, it was very interesting to see that, because when we used to go on CNN, it was intentionally, we knew we were going to be funny.
Right.
So there was that kind of expectation. These guys are all, like, angry and serious.
Yeah, oh, no, she did not see that coming. That
Bingo. Boy, that's what makes it beautiful. That's why you need your own radio show. You have one.
What? Oh, here I am. All right.
You need your own TV show. That's what you have one, too.
Well, you know, here's the thing is I whenever you were talking on CNN, I was always smiling and laughing because you are hilarious and smart. However, I did not realize when the camera was going to be on me, and apparently I was giving Carly Fiorina a couple of looks that have rocketed around the internet.
That's great. This one appearance has thrust you into another little... Well, hopefully they'll make you a regular part of that panel. That's possible.
I hope so.
Thank you, honey. Well, I am now in the dictionary under throwing shade or stank eye. Look it up.
Side eye.
Stank eye. I'm going to look that up. That was great. But
yeah.
I just want to say how I was proud. I wish I could have been there with you to have some fun and bring our third wheel that... I'm not going to mention him,
right.
Who was just like her, like kind of like angry and doesn't laugh much.
Oh, yeah, we used to text each other about somebody else we were on with that didn't have a very good sense of humor.
Oh, really?
All right, anyway, let's...
Like, unbelievable. He would just like stare at us, and we would joke, we would laugh, and I had to sit on the panel with him. Stephanie was in California. She'd walk away, and he would like sometimes get mad at me as we walked up the set. Like, that was not funny, or that was inappropriate. I'm like, oh, really? I'm not going to... You're not the arbiter of appropriate comedy. You know.
I was going to say, that's the point of being a comedian, is being inappropriate in every setting. Now, let's talk about your piece, Obama Should Counter John Boehner's Lawsuit, and here's how he can do it. Because you are... not just a fabulous columnist and comedian, but a lawyer.
Well, I don't practice law. It would be
right.
Clearly malpractice if anyone followed my advice at this point, including President Obama. But if somehow this snuck through the chains of power and command and it got up to them, one is, just viscerally, I would like Obama to sue Boehner. If Boehner sues him, I want Obama to counter-sue him for, one, right off the bat, how about doing some work, buddy, like bring immigration reform to a vote, bring gun control to a vote, or background checks to a vote. Minimum wage, but how about there's a quantifiable amount of money, which is the $50+ million spent on all the 50+ House votes to repeal Obamacare, and they knew
52.4 million. Right, they've spent on these ridiculous Obamacare repeal votes.
Right, CBS actually did the calculation last year: $52.4 million in taxpayer dollars spent. So. Boehner and his buddies could play politics and keep voting over and over to repeal Obamacare. And that number's higher, and that's a real number. That's our dollars spent so he can play politics. So I would love him to counter-sue there, but as I point out in my article, that would be just as bull as Boehner's lawsuit. These are political issues that have to be resolved in the political arena, which is through elections, and you get people to come out and vote, and you call your congressional representatives, and you voice your concerns. That's what this issue is. But Boehner knows that, and he knows that they might have legal issues. It's called standing, which is that you have the right to bring a lawsuit or not from a legal point of view. Not that you can go to court and file anything you want, but the court will dismiss it if it's bull.
Right.
Point of view is really, really hard-pressed to say that Boehner's threatened lawsuit has any valid basis.
Well, I love your side note. You said, I wonder if Boner had been House Speaker in the 1980s if he would have sued Ronald Reagan, who issued more than double the number of executive orders since Obama's 182, coming in at 381. Huh.
Bingo. No, because you don't sue a god. You can't sue a god. I think he had god immunity, Reagan, to the Republicans. There's no way they would sue him. Because it's so funny when we bring these numbers up to the Republicans, because George W. Bush had like about, I don't have them in front of me, but about 280 or 250 executive orders. They go, it's not the number, it's the abuse of them.
Right.
And they're talking about specific things. So they have answers for everything. It doesn't really make sense, but they, their answers work in their echo chambers, and they all sit around and go, that's right, you know, you're right. They were more powerful, Obama.
It's executive ordering but while black. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's right. Yeah. You're black. It's like, they're more popular, known to be bigger and more lethal.
It's like driving while black in Beverly Hills. It's just because you're doing it in the wrong place.
Right. And, by the way, Orange is the New Black, which is one of my favorite shows, got an Emmy nomination today for Best Comedy.
It did.
Hooray. The nomination just came out a few minutes ago.
It did.
Hooray.
So,
by the way, one of the best jokes ever, right, at a White House Correspondents' Dinner, the president saying that the Republicans are treating Boner so badly, he guesses orange really is the new black. Come on, that's a good joke.
Boom, and Carly Fiorina would have just stared at you when you
said
that
what?
Joke.
I don't
She's
get
like,
it.
What? I don't get it.
I think I actually was hit in the head with a tumbleweed on CNN Sunday morning. I was like, what was that?
That was great. I would love that she went home and Googled Carrot Top. I bet she did.
She did.
Like, what is Carrot Top?
She's the only glacier that's not melting these days. Hey, it was a little frosty in there.
You guys, though, are going to end up having your own show, the two of you. I could just see
it. Oh, boy. It'll be Redux to me and Babe Buchanan, just equally warm relationship.
You know how much fun it would be for everyone to watch? Like, there'd be a drinking game. Like, every time you tell a joke, it just stares in complete confusion.
Chris, during the impeachment, I hosted Equal Time with Babe Buchanan, and the ratings were huge because it was a train wreck.
Yeah.
I was doing Tonight Show, and she was doing Crossfire, and it was just, you cannot fake that kind of pure white-hot hatred. The cameras pick it up, and it was compelling.
I'm not even kidding you. I really think it would be compelling for the same reason that was compelling, and I didn't know you then, even though I probably watched it.
Right.
But I think people would tune in and watch it just for the uncomfortableness. There would be some fun, and there's some place that you probably would bond, which would actually be funny for us to watch. Like actually found agreement on something. And like,
I told her her purple suit was lovely before we went on. We had a little girl bonding moment.
Did you say it with a slightly sarcastic tint?
No, I did not. I said, is this a form of bipartisan outreach?
This is very nice. Well, great.
I was actually wearing a blue jacket. And she
the tags before you go on air. What? Boom! You should have just thrown it before you went on.
Oh, you know what she said?
Once I threw it out.
She said, no, when I heard you were going to be on, I thought red would be too obvious. And then she pointed to me, and I had a blue suit on, so that was a little catty. I was a little...
yesterday.
My blue jacket, so on the money in yesterday.
You look good, too, for what it's worth.
Thank
I know
you.
That you don't need a compliment from a straight guy, but still, you look good.
Yes, I do. All right. Anyway, let's go back to, you said
to
even...
My article, please, people, go to Daily Beast, click on my article so I don't lose my job there. It's
do
not
it.
Even a full-time job, but still.
You said even Eric Erickson wrote on Monday, John Boner's lawsuit is nothing more than a political theater and a further Republican waste of taxpayer dollars. You say, if it turns out the Benghazi hearings are without merit, the only consequence for the GOP is the possible backlash. But in federal court, if you pursue an objectively baseless claim, you can be sanctioned by the court under Rule 11, is what you were...
Rule 11, baby. I used to be a lawyer, and if you go to federal court, every lawyer has to sign their pleadings saying there's a good faith basis to bring the lawsuit. And courts have held the lawyer personally responsible, not just the party. So they can hire some outside counsel, which they will, and that attorney has to keep in mind that himself or her and their entire law firm, all the partners, would be held responsible, and the party, Boehner and the House, if they bring a lawsuit that has no basis, that's truly frivolous, and it could be a penalty of money or requiring the legal fees of the other side to be paid. You know, unfortunately for us, there's so much our taxpayer dollars, again, going back and forth on this bull.
Right.
It's really, like, for me to say Eric Erickson in a positive way, too, is just making me want to vomit because he's horrible.
You know, I was going to say that I was saying this before we had you on, Dean. It's just that it is hilarious that suing the president has now become the moderate Republican position, right? Eric Erickson, Sarah Palin want him impeached, which
is,
I mean,
Sarah Palin,
they're just overreaching to such a ridiculous degree, aren't they?
They have nothing. Let me put it this way. It is so bad, I almost want a Republican president in 2016 to win so that we can do the same garbage to the Republican president. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen, they've ratcheted up to a point where all liberals are going to go ballistic on a Republican president. And what they'll say in response, you did that to Bush. And I go, this is not this. This, you guys are contributing to people not being wanting to get involved in politics and tuning out and not voting because they have turned it into such a charade, the far right, which now runs the Republican Party, frankly.
No.
That's why you have to listen to Eric Erickson and Sarah Palin because they are the futures of this party. And I wonder, I keep waiting for some moderate voices to stand up in the Republican Party and go, this is ridiculous, guys. Let's, you know, there's a political issue. We should be a political result to it, not a lawsuit, which is wasting our dollars. And for Erickson to have to call it out,
yeah,
to me is pathetic.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what, by the way, who is going to win this whole interparty war over there? You know, you've got the Hawks and Dick Cheney up there. You've got Rand Paul. You've got the
right.
Tea Party. If we thought we had a clown show last time, this is going to be another clown show, just with the younger version. You know, you've got the younger version of Ron Paul, right?
Right. Can we just lock them into a cage match situation, put them in, only one man or one person comes out, sort of like Mad Max? I mean, it's really, who's ultimately going to win is the people who have the money, really, really, in politics. That's what it comes down to. That's why the establishment, you've seen them run up a bunch of victories in a row lately,
right,
except for Eric Cantor. And Eric Cantor did have the money, but that's in a small district. So was able to get out a base.
As it turns out,
when you get statewide and nationwide, ultimately it's going to be the people with the money, I think, ultimately, because you're going to reach independent voters, and those, they're going to come out in the general election and vote.
Unfortunately for Eric Cantor, money can't erase general douchiness and smarminess.
Cantor has to feel even worse that all the other Tea Party people have been falling by the wayside.
And unctuous twerpiness.
Unctuous twerpiness?
It could not erase all of it. Just the general douchiness of Eric Cantor.
The Republican Party, they're fighting. We're laughing, but I wonder what's going to happen in the midterm because the most recent polls I saw a couple of days ago again show the Republicans have a really good chance of taking the Senate.
Boy.
In this election. And so people, if you live in those battleground states and you're listening, take 10 minutes or 20 minutes and vote that day and bring friends to the polls. The turnout's going to be 38% to 40%. That was the same turnout in 2010 and 2006 in the midterm elections, meaning every vote means actually more. It really does mean something. Sometimes you're like, it doesn't matter. It's going to. And the passionate people, the angry people will win the midterm elections. And maybe Hobby Lobby is the thing that brings out
liberals and
women who are not going to vote.
Dean, I've said this over and over. I think they have poked a sleeping giant with this Hobby Lobby decision because I don't know one woman that is not furious about this.
There are a few on the right, but overwhelmingly you're right. I mean, I had some women on the right tweet me going, this is a good decision. I'm like, my God, maybe they were guys disguised as women.
This shouldn't even be a partisan issue, to give your employer, any employer, the power to, make your health care decisions. It's just, it is un-American,
I think. We've talked about this before. I think Christian Sharia law, my friends. Wake up, America.
There you go.
They talk about Muslims want to impose Sharia law. This is just Christian law being imposed on everyone else, even though employees that disagree with it. That's all this is. This is turning religion into law. And Scalia and Roberts and the five right-wing Republican men on the court agree with that idea. And so the same people on the right who go, oh, my God, Muslims want to impose their law based on their scripture on us. Yeah, no, but they're upset because, no, we want to do that. How dare you do that?
We've said it before. Like, if it was, hi, we're Sharia Corp, and we have a deeply held religious belief that in genital mutilation. But, I mean, honestly, where do you stop?
Right. That's not anything to do with Islam, by the way, but yes, I know what you're saying. Like, it's more something about, like, let's say something that really isn't Islam. Like, you could have four wives. So everyone who works for me, you have to have four wives. You're not mandated to have four wives, but you could have that. And then they're like, well, no, it's the American law says you can only have one wife. Like, no. And same thing, Mormons went through the same thing. It's ridiculous. And what the court did is dangerous. I don't know what the result is going to be, because here's the one thing I'll say. A year ago, we had the Defense of Marriage Act get struck down, and the court said we're not deciding on marriage equality overall. We're just deciding on the Defense of Marriage Act. But every single federal court that has considered gay marriage since that case has cited DOMA, the case striking it down, and struck down laws banning the one that banned marriage equality. So my point is, case decisions, even though the Hobby Lobby case said this is very specific, they have a life of their own, and they grow and grow.
Yep.
So Hobby Lobby could be applied by conservative federal appeal courts in ways they never even considered and make it even worse for women.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like some Republican demagoguing, but I'm going to be honest. DOMA case has grown in a year. It's much more powerful than they thought, and this Hobby Lobby case can do the same thing in a worse, in a negative way, not
yep.
a positive way.
Absolutely. Dean Obladi Oblada, always a pleasure, my friend.
Great. Nice chatting with you guys.
You too, Dean.
All right. See you, Dean. There he goes, Dean Obadala. DailyBeast.com. There's a link up on our website.
Yep.
Or Facebook page, or wherever
it is. Both, actually.
Right? How would I know?
And he's Dean of Comedy on Twitter.
Yes. All right. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I'm just reading my Twitter feed. Heading to California tomorrow with Evan for a wedding. Looking forward to being in studio with SM Show Radio Guy Chris. Oh, my God. He's here already. Why?
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch. FullFightStrategies.com. I assume this is the handsome and romantic Evan.
It is.
Hello.
I thought the people would like little eye candy.
Oh, yes. I like a little eye candy, too.
Aww.
Oh, my God. I'm in diabetic shock now. Hi, Carl Frisch. How delightful to have you in studio. You are here for a big gay wedding.
That's right. And you know what? I always forget when I'm on the West Coast. And I grew up in Los Angeles.
Oh, Evan, we scared Evan away already.
I don't know. How early you actually get up in the
okay.
morning for this.
All right,
yes.
Can turn around so we can see your butt. Okay. Thank you. Nicely done, sir. Okay.
Wow.
Do you objectify him to the same degree I do? Because that was
horrible. I don't have a show to do it on, though. I just use a bullhorn and DuPont Circle.
I'm sure he's very smart in addition to being man candy.
Yes, he's an educator.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Awesome. I bet you he educates you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carl.
Oh, my God.
What?
You're being all hoary.
No, I'm not. I didn't know. That was not my implication. Carl.
Yes.
You're out here for a big gay wedding.
I am out here for my friend Darren's wedding to his boyfriend, Kevin.
You have to talk right into the...
Yeah.
There.
Right into the microphone?
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Sir, there you go.
I'm out here for my friend Darren's wedding. Yes.
By the way, we have other breaking gay news already this morning, right?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Yes. Right.
Is it getting
to that.
Is it just me or is it boring now? It's like, another state, 20 now.
Well, I mean, I guess the suspense is there going to be a stay on marriages or not?
Right, yeah.
You know?
How many people are going to get married
right.
before they stop them?
Exactly.
Yes, and then create another legal subclass
second class,
that
yeah.
will ultimately help the suit. Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Or create another
yes,
one
here
entirely.
It is.
Yeah.
Pardon me, here it is. I found it in the gay stack. Judge strikes down Colorado gay marriage ban.
Marriage?
Well, you leave
apparently
me alone,
this is a Rob Reiner initiative.
Yeah. By the way, you were wrong. Barbara Walters is still the executive producer of The View. And that is why I
you
will not
get
on the...
You know that she had an idea.
I had an idea once. What if there were four women and the whole... All right, we get it. A state judge.
What if every show began that way, by the way?
I had an idea. With Barbara Walters. With every TV show was Barbara Walters' idea.
If I could take
Orange
quite
is it. The New Black. I had an idea about women in prison. No, you didn't. It wasn't your idea. All right. Yes, a state judge struck down Colorado's gay marriage ban on Wednesday, saying the prohibition violated constitutional rights, but put his ruling on hold pending appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Republican appointee.
That's right.
Yes.
Most of these
of
are
course.
Republicans.
Yeah, of course he was a Republican appointee. I mean, there's not an appointee that hasn't overturned these yet. We've not lost any of these cases.
Utah, going straight to the U.S. Supreme Court yep. to challenge a federal appeals court ruling that found states must allow gay couples to marry. So they're going to appeal the marriage ban ruling.
We'll see what happens, though, because also it might have been this week or last week. It's all kind of a blur at this point because you guys get up too early.
Right.
But in Pennsylvania, one of the county clerks had appealed the decision mm-hmm. of the governor not to fight marriage
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
And Justice Alito, who we know just loves gay people, except the opposite, decided not to take the case. So
wow.
Pennsylvania marriage moves forward.
Right. You know, I have a bias because I am from out here in Prop 8, California land, mm-hmm. and I told Chris I got to go to this amazing party before, you know, we went on vacation. Right. It was the book party for Ted Olson and David mm-hmm. Boies, and so I got to talk to them, and they sort of talked extemporaneously, and I got to meet Judge Vaughn Walker.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And our friends Jeff and Paul were there, Prop 8 plaintiffs. And so, and I have to say that my personal feelings, I really hope it's Virginia. That's the
I
one they
too.
Take because
just
of
for
loving.
Sake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, that's what Ted Olson. Well, I'll tell you what he said. Anyway, right. And more with Carl Frisch live in the studio. He's so fluffy, I could die. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. Look who's here. Carl Frisch, live in studio in all his glory, here in Los Angeles.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
People often describe me as being in all my glory.
You are adorable and really cuddly, may I say.
Thank you.
I just want to woody you when I see you in person.
It's Max and Fred and Carl now.
That's right.
That's right. You are a handsome, romantic man. Now,
just don't say he has gorilla lips, please.
No, I would not say that.
That
that's
sounds
only Max.
Racist?
Max is
she
a
says
monkey
that to her,
man.
Her white dogs all the time.
He's a monkey man with rubber gorilla lips. What? All right. This is why I can't buy the Clippers, because I'm mentally incapacitated.
That's right.
Carl.
And you're a pig.
Can you believe I allow this?
Donald Sterling called his wife a pig.
Well, in fairness to Donald Sterling, I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
Poor thing. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
So, Carl, you're here for a big gay wedding. We were talking
That's
about
right.
That I got to go to a book party for Ted Olson and David Boies. And, you know, we were talking about them. I mean, obviously, they hope it's Virginia, the case that first gets to the Supreme Court. And you were saying historically, and not just because I love Ted and David, this whole, you know, the whole California contingent, but because historically, because of loving, it would be so.
Be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and hopefully they let Kennedy pick the case from, you know, Virginia, because I think it'll be Kennedy who writes the decision. He's the one that
he's the swinger. He's the swinger.
Well, yeah, and he's written all of the gay civil rights victories mm-hmm. that we've had on the Supreme Court. The getting rid of sodomy, getting rid of DOMA.
We've gotten rid of sodomy. Why wasn't I told?
I mean, the laws against sodomy.
Oh, pardon me.
Right.
Enough about last weekend.
Hey.
Carl, what?
Sodomy, you.
You're the one who brought up bear holes.
What?
That's a new bar in Silver Lake, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Anyway, Carl, but I, you know, with Hobby Lobby and all of these recent Supreme, do you get nervous about the Supreme Court in general? Or, you know, but
I'm not worried about marriage anymore, and here's why. I think some of the justices probably see marriage as like the cape with which they will cover themselves as they continue to do things for corporate America.
Yeah. Isn't that really what, when you look at this Hobby Lobby thing, it's really what it's about. It's giving yet more power to corporations.
If the silver lining is marriage equality we get because while they push all these corporate things through, fine, I like that silver lining. Don't like the underlying other decisions. But, yeah, Hobby Lobby is a perfect example of a payout to corporate America. The same day that they announced Hobby Lobby, they did Harris versus Quinn, which was basically gutting the public sector unions, which will eventually lead to the destruction of labor in this country, which they know will weaken the Democratic Party. It's kind of full circle from Citizens United. And that, in between those two cases, you've had dozens of cases where they've made it harder for everyday Americans to sue their employers or to sue corporate America.
Right. Yeah, and you had Alito, remember after Citizens United? That's not true. It's not going to open the floodgates of campaign cash. Just like he said about Hobby Lobby, no, this is very narrow. This is not, I mean, he's just, so, as you tweeted, I wish Alito's mother would have had access to contraception in her health insurance plan. Carl Louise.
Now, many people said wrongly that I was implying that perhaps she wouldn't have had him. What I meant was that people with proximity to birth control have an empathy for people that want birth control.
Right. And right.
That's what I meant. But, you know, the other thing with Alito is that if you recall last term, there were one story about how he was making faces when Justice Ginsburg was reading a dissent. Like, you know, preposterous, like, oh, I can't believe he would say that.
Chicks.
And then he did the same thing to Kagan and to
Sotomayor. He did this with his finger. Yeah.
So basically what happened after Hobby Lobby, when he basically backtracked on everything that he had promised in Hobby Lobby, was, you know, the decision version of making faces at the women on the court.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was proved right in world record time, right?
Precisely.
You said don't let narrow spin on Hobby Lobby fool you. It's only narrow if narrow means wide enough to drive a truck through. And, I mean, this is what, again, the slippery slope argument that in this case is so accurate. That this, I mean, where's the first case where someone goes, gays make me feel icky? That's my deeply held religious belief.
The first Christian scientists say that we don't believe in health care of any kind.
Yep.
There's no health insurance.
Yeah.
You know, blood transfusions for...
vaccines,
for some faiths. I mean, there is no end to these types of things that one could claim. Not to mention, what about a Scientologist claiming, you know, that somebody can't have their bipolar medication?
Antidepressants, right. Yeah. That's why I like this. I mean, well-known political strategist Carl Frisch. Dems strike back on Hobby Lobby case with Not My Boss's Business Act. At least it's finally, you know how George Bush would always name everything the opposite of what it was? At least this is exactly what it is, and it's something people can understand, right?
Well, most women have used birth control at one time or another in their life, even lesbian women.
Right? What?
And, you know, more senior women are using birth control. But the point is that... Democrats can use this as an opportunity to show women that this party that continues to claim that all they're about is jobs and the economy will stop at nothing to strip women of their rights to reproductive freedom. And that the anti-gay politics that they're kind of being quiet about now, because they know they can't say it in polite company anymore, this had never been about gay people or about straight people. This is about sex. And this is a party that is completely afraid of sexual activity of any kind.
Yeah. Well, and also, I am so sick of people saying it's free stuff. It isn't. Your health insurance is an earned benefit.
Well, they say it about pensions. They say it about unemployment insurance.
Yeah. Senator Patty Murray, Democratic Senators Patty Murray and Mark Udall fought back against the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision with plans for legislation intended to restore the contraceptive coverage requirement under the Affordable Care Act. Joined by fellow Democrats from both chambers of Congress and women's rights groups, they urged Americans to support the bill they have nicknamed Not My Boss's Business Act. We are here to ensure that no CEO or corporation can come between people and their guaranteed access to health care, said Senator Murray. I hope Republicans will join us. Why wouldn't they? And to revoke this court-issued license to discriminate and return the right of Americans to make their own decision about their health care and their own bodies. This is where there's just no consistency on the Republican side to even have a conversation with, because they've been screaming for how long about Obamacare getting between you and your doctor. And what is this? So now it's better for your employer to be between
you? No, they don't care because it's women, Stephanie. You don't count. They're basically...
Get back into
you're
the kitchen.
You're so emotional about what kind of health care you need.
Oh, your show's so cute. Shouldn't you be cooking?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah, you do. Yes. Usually the night before, I bring it in.
No, one morning I made pasta. Although
you did.
Didn't it boil over? Travis had the sous chef. Yeah. Okay. Patty Murray just made the point you just made. She said if bosses can deny birth control, they can deny vaccines, HIV treatment, or other basic health services for employees or their dependents. Udall said women should not have to ask their bosses for a permission slip to access birth control or other critical health services.
Well, you know who doesn't have to ask for anything is men. They're allowed to have Viagra. They're allowed to have vasectomies. They're allowed to have vasectomies, right? And, you know, yeah, condoms may not be covered, but condoms are cheap and free most places. So, you know, you look at this and the rationale is that their religious freedom trumps the rights of women to have this kind of coverage. But there's no consistency in this religious thinking, right? Because the premise is that God doesn't want you to not have the baby. Well, I mean, the same God probably doesn't want a man to be able to get you pregnant if you have to take Viagra. So why is Viagra covered?
Yeah.
Why is a vasectomy covered for a man? I mean, these are very simple questions. And it's always targeting women.
If God intended you to stay flaccid, then just do it. It is what God intended for you.
It's always targeting women.
He intended significant shrinkage, and there's nothing. That's a man-made thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You keep talking about penises like you've seen one in the last
30 shush.
Years.
Oh, by the way.
They don't have the Flock of Seagulls haircut anymore.
Laura in Cupertino, I have made her life. Stephanie, you said the three greatest words ever uttered on the public airwaves. Penises haven't changed. Thank you for making my day, my week, and my year.
You don't know that.
Penises haven't changed.
You don't know that.
All right, everybody, let's see. Let's see what's going on.
They're now more European.
I'm lousy with them in here this morning. Let's see what's going on.
They now spin.
They spin now?
They spin.
Why wasn't I told? Okay. Mitch McConnell is
speaking
not
supporting. Speaking of penises.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Now, in a totally unrelated story, Mitch McConnell said we'd have a better chance of working our way through the bills that we need to pass if we cut out the showboats.
You realize you said that in about 5 seconds. It would have taken him 6.5 minutes to say that.
And we didn't eat up time trying to score points for the fall election. So this is what they always say when Democrats try to pass anything. Oh, it's a stunt or a showboat.
Right.
Like Patty Murray did it with, like, jazz hands.
Yeah, you tell the people that are needing their unemployment benefits whether or not it's a show vote when the Senate passes them. Yeah, it's no show vote to those people. I suppose if you're a senator in an ivory tower who doesn't have to worry about those types of things and is wealthy anyways, if he happens to lose a seat, it's a show vote. But for people who actually need those benefits, it's the difference between being able to afford your mortgage payment, your rent payment, or putting food, as George W. Bush would say, putting food on your family.
Senator Barbara Boxer.
B. Boxer.
Did I say Senator Barbara Boxer?
Mm-hmm.
She's a senator because why? Because no one wanted Carly Fiorina.
That's not true.
Her campaign. So
people
yesterday.
People at HP wanted her to be a senator just to get her out of the office.
Barbara Boxer said the court's majority has decided that corporations are entitled to more rights than individual Americans. That's what this is really about, as I was saying, calling the majority's ruling ideological and political. So I don't know. What chance that has as anything has of passing these days, but I think it's good politically to go on record.
I think we need to do that. I think we need to push Republicans to vote the right way. I think we need to put pressure on pro-choice House members that are Republican to support the legislation. And then furthermore, I think we need to start focusing on the Supreme Court. It takes one justice to switch these decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, George W. Bush knew that the courts were very important. He knew that demographic shifts were coming. Let me rephrase that. Karl Rove knew that the courts were
told
very
George
important.
Bush. Yes. Okay. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Carl Frist live in studio.
Live
on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Lying off the left bank of the American Main Street, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What? 23 minutes. Oh, Carl Frisch is still here.
For the hour.
I'm that person. I don't even know why. Why
you
did I come
I was
in this room?
Leave.
Oh, I have a radio show. Oh, look, your boyfriend's taking pictures of you. That's cute.
That's adorbs.
Oh, it's cute.
Totes my goats.
All right. Scat now, Evan. Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Let's take one from Paul in Seattle. You're on with Carl. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
But I loved your slam on Carly Fiorina and her medieval history degree.
I like that
Fiorina.
Name.
Fiorina.
San Francisco
Tree.
Wasn't that a song by Bobby Brown? Fioroni.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Did you intentionally or accidentally refer to her as Candy in that exchange, or did?
No, I was talking to Candy Crowley, I think.
Oh well, one of the techniques.
But Carly Fiorina certainly is sweet. All right, go ahead, Paul.
Well, the Hobby Lobby decision actually did deprive the employees of Hobby Lobby their rights under the Affordable Care Act. And I think Tina Dupuis said yesterday that Hobby Lobby is not giving them or paying for their birth control. They earned this.
It's a
compensation. You know, I wonder if Hobby Lobby will next not want to pay them in dollars so they don't spend it on stuff they don't believe in. But
well, right.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah. Here's your allowance. I want a sheet on everything you spend it on. But none of those slut pills.
You go stock those decoupage shelves, and we'll see what we can do about some money.
Justice Sotomayor asked them during the oral arguments, why don't you just not offer health insurance and just pay the tax? And then your employees can go buy insurance on the exchange. And Hobby Lobby's lawyer said, oh, no, it's our religious belief that we should offer health insurance, and it makes us a more competitive employer, I guess up until a point, until it runs afoul of their religious beliefs. So I guess what happens here is that now that they do offer health insurance, this sort of half-baked health insurance, the problem is that their employees who are entitled to a full complement of health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, they can't go on the exchange and buy their own insurance now because they already have insurance.
Oh, but they can go buy just birth control insurance, right? They have that.
Well, that's one of the things that Obamacare doesn't let you have anymore, and the insurance companies don't offer just birth control insurance.
Yeah, well, in some states, women have to buy rape insurance, so that's nice. That's the kind of America we want to be. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Because you can always plan for that sort of thing.
Right. Put it in your day book.
Gerald in Tampa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gerald. You're on with Carl.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
My husband and I have been together 37 years, and we've been married since 2006. And I'm self-employed, and so his company, which is based in California, it's a very conservative company, but they have offered health insurance because of our marriage. And I can see a problem with his company saying, well, you know, it's a family company.
And you're not the right kind of family, right?
Yeah, it's against your, and I'm going to wind up losing health insurance, and I'm going to have to give up my independent business and go back and work for somebody that offers it, because here in Florida, of course, we don't have exchanges. We didn't take the Medicare expansion. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I guess our governor was trying to figure out how to rip off the taxpayer again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean.
You know, he took the fifth, how many, 57 times? Something like that during a deposition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is exactly, you know, what the real effects this is going to have on real people.
Right. It's not so much a slippery slope as it is a Pandora's box. I mean, it's full of problems.
Right. Maybe it is a slippery slope out of Pandora's box.
What?
Without lube.
Right. And without protection.
Carl, the Family Values Party, did you see this? We did this story yesterday. I want to talk to Jackie Schechner about it again next hour, but Tennessee's refusal to expand Medicaid forced this couple to get a divorce. They've been married 33 years. I mean, so this is the kind of family values they believe in. She has epilepsy, so they've had to literally break up and live apart in order for her, because they don't have, you know.
Okay, you're using all these science words like epilepsy. I believe it's called Satan's handshake. So
no, it is not, Carl Fish.
No.
We believe you're mistaken.
How about I just rely on the Republican excuse of, I'm not a doctor. I'll leave that to the medicine
right.
people.
Well, that's what, I was saying on CNN this weekend, that just this whole thing makes me insane before we even get to the other arguments, because it's not a war against women. It's a war on science.
Yeah.
It's like, they believe these drugs are abortifacients. Well, they're not. I mean, I don't even understand how that gets.
Well, I mean, like, let's decide what that means,
and
then see if these drugs fit into that category. And
they
don't.
What if
I
have
a
deeply held religious belief against gravity? So I'm going to
there's really only
Chris
one
off the top of my house just to, because I believe that I can.
There's really only one. All these years later, there's really only one drug that you can take to have an abortion. It's RU486, and the length to which a woman has to go to get a prescription for insured or not for RU486. There's a paper trail a mile long to follow those drugs to make sure that the doctor who prescribed it is only giving it to the woman that's supposed to get it, and so on and so on.
Right.
It's harder to get than OxyContin or over-the-counter Sinus medication.
Right, mm-hmm. right. It's easier than to argue for 69, which is that's a different thing entirely.
It's not a drug either.
No, it's not.
A very kinky robot from Star Wars.
What is wrong with
love
you?
Love is a drug, though. It's Carl Frisch. I should not be allowed to hang around with him. We would be separated if we were in school.
That's true.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a
nice pigtails.
29 minutes after the hour, we roll along with Carl Frisch on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, despite your point of view, I can thrill a girl or two. But I'd rather get it on with
Stephanie Miller.
All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Carl Frisch live in studio. Jackie Schechner on her way in. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Uh-oh, everybody. Catfight. Joy Behar rips into Elizabeth Hasselbeck for what she said about Rosie O'Donnell. It's The View all over again.
It's amazing they all got along on that reunion.
So what?
I can't do the Fred Armisen impersonation of Joe Behar.
Who cares?
That
so
was
what?
Horrible.
So what? Who cares?
Yeah. Hasselbeck said, here comes The View, the very woman who spit in the face of our military. I don't even know what she's referring to. Spit in the face of her own network. Blah, 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 blah.
Behar said,
I think it was really kind of below the belt to say she spit in the face of the military. I'd like Elizabeth to explain herself. And she pointed out that O'Donnell's son is at the Citadel, the military academy, which
you
made
know,
charging Rosie with hating the military
you know what, Roger,
a dangerous thing to say. Yeah. I think it's a hate-filled remark.
I know for a fact the reason that Roger Ailes likes Elizabeth Hasselbeck so much is because she's never spit in the face of anything.
Let's go to the phones. Chad and... I'm just taken to ignoring Carl now. Chad in Idaho, you're on with Carl. Hey, Chad.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that FDR communicated better with just a radio than the president does in modern media. I mean, he won't even say the word Republican when he blames it. I mean, the Republican...
Oh, I think it's pretty clear who he's talking about. I think he couldn't have been clearer yesterday.
Well, no, he doesn't say the word Republican. You watch him, he blames a generic Congress. And the Republicans... they'll
it's a Republican Congress.
He has to tell them because people are stupid. And I'll tell you that the Republicans, they'll torch the country to energize their base. We won't even put Alan Grayson on the Benghazi committee. They don't energize their base. They don't care.
So I was just saying, Chad, before, the, you know, at the top of the show, Carl, about Henry Cuellar criticizing the president, the Democrat from Texas. I mean, this is what they do better than we do.
They can whip people right into line.
And Fox News played those sound bites all day long yesterday.
Right.
Of course they did. I mean, if you want
and
to
And I'm
go
like,
on...
what is going on with Chris Matthews? He's going off on something Hillary Clinton said when she was a 27-year-old lawyer. I'm like,
That we've known about for the better part of two decades.
Yeah.
It's not a story. I mean, you've got the Free Beacon out there trying to report that she defended a rapist and that she wanted to and, you know. She was forced
she was
to
assigned.
By a judge.
She was assigned, yeah. So. The president, by the way, I thought was very good at the press conference on the border crisis. Here
Congress
he
just said no to fixing our broken immigration system in a way that strengthens our borders and our businesses, despite the fact that everybody from law enforcement to corporations to evangelicals, there's a coalition around immigration reform that's unprecedented. These guys still can't get their act together.
Yeah. I mean, this is why, by the way...
Wait, who's he talking about?
The Republican Congress.
Okay, just wanted to spell it
thank
out.
Thank you. But this is why this is so disingenuous. Here's disingenuous. Here's John Boehner yesterday.
If you look at the president's request, it's all more about continuing to deal with the problem. We've got to do something about sealing the border and ending this problem so that we can begin to move on with the bigger question of immigration reform.
Oh, really? And how many votes are you going to get for immigration reform in your own caucus? He knows that he can't get anything. Like, stop saying, like, oh, I could get this done if it weren't for the president. No, you can't.
Can we finally deal with the problem? The problem is that John Boehner's been drunk for 6 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has no interest in working with anybody because he knows
which,
he can't.
Which, by the way, is fine for running a radio show, not for running Congress.
Recall, when he became Speaker, He tried to get stuff done on occasion.
Yeah.
And he always lost his votes. He'd go make a deal with the president. He'd come back, yeah. and the caucus would be like, no, we're not following you.
Yes. He has a wildly uncontrollable caucus.
Yeah.
The president again yesterday.
You know, they said we needed to triple the Border Patrol. Or now they're going to say we need to quadruple the Border Patrol. Or they'll want a higher fence. Maybe they'll need a moat. Maybe they want alligators in the moat. They'll never be satisfied.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that goes right to it, doesn't it?
You know, Steve King, the congressman from
the
Iowa.
Stunning Steve King.
When he heard that, he said, a moat. You know.
Alligators.
Can we electrify the alligators?
I would like one thing in addition to the alligators.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
That would work.
Yes.
He was dumb enough to fall for that, and then people were like, idiot, it's from Austin Powers. Shut up, there are no such things as sharks.
Louis Gohmert is now saying there's a conspiracy that FEMA is now buying all the shark meat it can get. And laser technology in the form of keychains for cats. They're going to combine them.
Right. Laser pointers for cats. That'll distract them. Ooh, go that way. Ooh, okay.
Trey Gowdy is easily distracted like
yes.
that.
Ooh. Woo.
That's just paranoia that comes from.
Okay. The president again.
The problem here is not major disagreement around the actions that could be helpful in dealing with the problem. The challenge is, is Congress prepared to act to put the resources in place to get this done?
Let's go to Julio in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Julio.
Hey, I was on the immigration meeting. I called a little bit earlier. I'm on I-10, and they have some people over a bridge on mile marker 65 showing signs in Houston, Texas, showing signs saying immigrants go home. Rebels for America, and it's packing up traffic about 10 miles going west on I-10. But anyway, I was calling. I'm a Christian.
That's it for traffic. Now here's sports. Go ahead, Julie.
I'm a Christian. I believe birth at conception. I believe all that stuff, and but I also believe that my religious beliefs should never infringe on anybody else's personal rights. So it, as a Christian, if conservatives really want to say they're Christian, then we should raise our kids how we want to raise them, believe in our God that we believe in, and allow them, our God, to mold our children's lives,
yep.
not engage in premarital sex.
Better be careful who you say that.
Yeah, isn't that the basis of America, right? Freedom of and freedom from religion, if you want.
Don't say it too loud. You might get kicked out of the clubs. I mean, yes, that's how it should be. But unfortunately, you've got a lot of people that are insecure about their own gods.
Yeah.
You know, the only way that they can feel secure in their own beliefs is to force other people to have the same beliefs. And that doesn't show any.
They're kind of stripping God down and how powerful we believe he is. If he's as powerful as we believe he is, we don't need the government to step in and say we can't have abortions, that gays are wrong, that contraception shouldn't be allowed, because we believe our God is above that. So if we really believe that, then we raise our kids how we want to raise them, and they'll be we'll be fine. You know, if gays want to get married, that's not going to affect me.
Right, and Julio, that's the basis of America. You have a right to believe what you want to believe, you know. And if you don't believe in abortion, don't have one. If you don't believe in gay marriage, don't marry someone of the same sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. He's got boy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Freedom.
And I like this
traffic report. Yeah. Yeah. What?
I like this traffic report.
I don't know. That was just.
If you didn't catch it, there's a SIG alert on the 10.
All right. One more, the president on the border situation.
Are folks more interested in politics, or are they more interested in solving the problem? If they're interested in solving the problem, then this can be solved. If the preference is for politics, then it won't be solved.
Remember the autopsy, the GOP autopsy? Wasn't that the first thing they said? If we ever want to survive politically, we've got to do comprehensive immigration reform. Someone killed the autopsy.
I'm pretty sure they've deported the sections of the autopsy that dealt with emerging demographics.
And then Woody Harrelson and, what's his name? Matthew McConaughey came in. The autopsy was already dead. The autopsy's already dead.
It's If you are a Republican strategist looking at this, and you're a young Republican strategist, you must be thinking to yourself, well, I've probably got work for another 10, 15 years tops before this party only represents 30% of the country.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Steve in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, folks. My question is, how would you respond to those people who would say something along the lines of, listen, if we believe in freedom and we believe in freedom of choice, an employer should have the right to offer whatever benefits they feel appropriate or necessary. And on the flip side, the employees have the right to either stay with that employer or to go elsewhere. And in today's society where you probably...
Do you think that's a good plan to have every employer...
Well, let's get rid of healthcare for a second, right? The same argument could be made, if you believe in freedom, then the employer should be able to put your desk over metal spikes with lasers on it.
Chris is it.
And you should be able to go to another job if you don't like it.
Right.
I mean, there is a certain base level of standards that we need in the workplace, whether it's workplace conditions, whether it's health insurance, whether it's certain wages for certain hours worked. The argument could be made if an employer only wants to pay you a dollar an hour, well, you can go to another employer. That's just not the way we do things in this country. And by the way, you may not agree with that, and you may think that we shouldn't have a minimum wage, but you wouldn't have had a middle class existence in this country if there wasn't for the minimum wage and the benefits that come along with those types of jobs.
I consider him bitch slapped. Okay. I just wanted to put him out of his misery. It didn't seem like things were going to go well for him. That was too eloquent.
Thank
it's too much.
I try.
You're too much, Carl. Senator Robert Menendez on the border situation before we break here.
Frankly, my Republican friends can't have it both ways. They can't criticize the president, in fact, sue the president for abusing his executive authority, and at the same time come to this floor and criticize him for a lack of leadership.
Oh, by the way, that was nicely done. The president was talking about his private conversation with Rick Perry, and he said, well, he told me to... do an executive order. And he said, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but I'm getting sued for that right now. So which is it, right? I mean, he can't win.
That's right. And Menendez got it a little wrong there. He said Republicans are running it two ways. I'm pretty sure Republicans only want it one way.
Yes.
It's missionary or not.
Right, yeah. Exactly. All right, thank you, Carl.
That, what the joke means. Makes
Carl, you are inappropriate.
You're a scamp.
You stay right there. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments with Carl Frisch on The Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Mars needs
Stephanie Miller.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, dance.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Just discussing with Carl Frisch how he knows Jackie Schechter. He will hand the baton off to Jackie Schechter for next hour.
That's right.
She will run.
You knew each other in Washington.
We did. And even back then, she was answering my medical questions. I'm like, what is this, Jackie?
Does this look infected to you?
You should really go see a doctor, basically, is what she said. Yeah.
She was the internet reporter for CNN, right? Mm-hmm.
Back when blogs and the internet became political, Jackie was covering that as a beat for CNN, and it was pretty great.
Right. Yeah.
She basically taught Wolf Blitzer how to use the internet.
Jackie, could you come in here, wear something skimpy? I need some help with my spank bank.
For hour six of my show, we're going to focus on...
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know for sure that that happened. Okay. Oh, we have one irritant left, Senator Ted Cruz on the border crisis.
It is a disaster that is the direct consequence of President Obama's lawlessness. The direct, predictable, foreseeable consequence of granting that amnesty is the number of children, unaccompanied children, immediately began to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Please, Carl, tell me that he will not be the next president of the United States. If I have to listen to that voice.
He won't be the next president, but our lips to God's ears that he'll be the next Republican nominee. He can't be the Republican nominee because he's born in Canada, right?
Right.
True. Well, he's renounced his Canadian citizenship.
Well, but we'll see.
Right.
Yeah. hearing a Canadian talk to me about immigration.
Right. How do we let him across the border? That's what I want to know.
The American people may vote for a Republican in 2016. We don't know. They will not vote for a crazy person. And Ted Cruz looks at a crazy person.
By the way,
this
is the question I always ask, Carl. How did the president, how is he given amnesty? Aren't the Republicans that have blocked immigration reform for years the ones that are giving automatic amnesty to everyone that's here?
What he's talking about is the executive order from 2 years ago where President Obama said if you were born before 1988 or whatever, we're not going to push you out of the country.
Right.
Now, what he does there is expose his lack of understanding about the current situation. If these people are coming because of that, well, they better hope that they've been here since the mid-80s. It just defies logic.
Yeah.
So he's wrong.
You mean the 80s when Reagan gave actual amnesty to actual millions?
To millions, yes.
People. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Steve in Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Carl. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Can I see your papers?
What?
Just kidding. We wanted to see your papers. It's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I actually live in Fountain Hills, Arizona, mm-hmm. which is the residence of Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I'm calling about the Eric Erickson tweet and the Hobby Lobby decision. Eric Erickson said that my religion trumps your right to birth control. But, you know, that's what they said back in Jefferson's day. There were some Christians that said, my religion trumps your right to hold religious office, and we cannot have them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, let's remember, Eric Erickson is a guy who said that he would shoot people that come onto his property to do the census. So he's not a rational player here.
Right.
I mean, his entire purpose in life is to get notoriety by saying crazy things, which is a little, it's like a puppy mill on the right of crazy. You know, and maybe he'll get a book contract, and we already know he has a radio show because he'll give anybody with a pulse a radio show on the right.
And we do have sympathy. They are kept in horrible conditions, and they tend to eat their own.
Right.
Right. Okay. Deirdre in Annapolis, you're on with Carl. Hey, Deirdre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was watching take Carly Fiorino to the factual board and watching her face. And then when she dismissed it with, those rules were put in by two men in the basement of HHS.
Right.
Unelected and unaccountable. And I so wish you had said, oh, like the Supreme Court.
Yes, I know.
Unelected and unaccountable.
Well, as I said earlier, being on with these, you know, Carl. It's like a tennis ball machine full of bubbles.
You can't catch
all of it. No. All like I.
Some crazy is going to get through.
No, and I only thought of it after I watched it 7 times.
Yeah. No, Jackie tweeted about that. We'll talk about that next hour. It's what if was she talking about? They were approved by some unelected, bureaucrats in a basement. Like no, they weren't. They were by
law.
Doctors.
Yeah.
Like.
No, I mean, if you want to know whether or not you should trust what Carly Fiorina says, you should just ask yourself, where did she run for office? California. How much money did she spend thinking that she could buy her way into office here?
$100 million
of her own money?
She did lend me her golden parachute to get out of CNN, so I must thank her for that.
The lack of understanding and common sense that requires somebody to spend that kind of money to win a seat that Republicans haven't held in 2 decades in this state shows you how much common sense or understanding of logic she has, which is none.
Okay. All right. Seems like her friend Meg Whitman could have given her a little shout-out, a little call, a little something.
Something.
Heads up. Let's go to carry the four. Carol in South Carolina, you're on with Carl. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Steph. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm just annoyed that nobody calls Lindsey Graham and John McCain on the fact that they were both in Congress in 2007 when this law...
When you say in Congress... Do you mean in the legislative body known as Congress? Or a different...
In the Senate.
Okay.
Carl. You did not mean sexual Congress. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Ah.
Well,
you know, because he is a confirmed bachelor and all.
Right, exactly. Did you... by the way, did you hear Charlie Pierce's line that Lindsey Graham does everything John McCain does, but he does it backwards in the heels? Come on! That's a great line. They're the friend and ginger of...
Yeah. Great. I prefer Lindsey Graham and the original Paul Lynde. It's a takeoff of John Fugelsang's line.
The president's now.
He was center square.
The gentleman from Arizona.
Hey, he's doing the wrong thing on Iraq.
Center square, Lindsey Graham.
Senator Square.
Yeah. That's the only thing that could make it better. As if he sounded exactly like Paul Lynde. You're exactly right. Yeah. You're right, John. John in Washington, you're on with Carl. Hey, John.
Hi, Stephanie. Can I be the official ex-submariner of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Ooh. You were a seaman?
Yes, I was. Okay. And we did some operations off the coast of Nicaragua in
86.
And I heard later on that some of the ships in their harbors kind of went boom. And we had divers on board. I don't know, I'm just saying. But we, as the American people, never understand. We never connect the dots. These kids are coming up here from this war-torn area that we either didn't fix at the best or made way worse by funding.
Yeah, but we made some money. We made money. Yeah.
We did have a hand in causing the crisis that's going on in Central America now.
No, everything just started yesterday when the black guy became president. Carl Frisch, you are a cuddly delight. You really are.
Delightful as always.
Oh, his boyfriend is like a bobblehead doll right behind him.
He is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told him about Nancy Reagan before we got here.
I would like to eat Evan with a melon baller. He's so cute.
What did you say?
I don't know. I'm not in my...
You're drunk.
I'm mentally incapacitated. Yeah. Jackie Jenner.
We're going to go visit Congress.
Love you, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're not here yet. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Okay.
Hello world, here's the news that's ringing. Come on, get Jackie. A whole lot of stories is what she's singing. We bring you Jackie.
Here she is, everybody. Jackie Schechner. Somebody made you a tchotchke, and there it is.
Yeah, you know, I got, there was a like a coaster mirror also, and that one I got and took home. Yeah.
Right, but this
a
clock.
A clock, but it's broken. The bottom broke off of it.
There's, you left the base in there.
Do I? All right,
we'll
get it all
fixed.
Yeah, but the base broke off, so it has to be glued back on or something.
All right, if you're going to get all persnickety about your tchotchkes.
No, it's awesome, and I appreciate it, and thank you. But I noticed last time, because it was here, when I was here last time.
Correct.
And you have to kind of prop it up. Somewhere.
Yes. All right. Anyway, there you go.
What time is it? It's Stephanie Miller time.
It's Jackie Schechner time. Jackie Schechner.
Hi.
That's not going to stay up.
You were frustrated.
Yes.
And you were not sitting right across from Carly Fiorina.
Oh, my God. I watched that. That was fantastic.
Thank you, Angel. But as I was saying, as you know, when you're on these shows, it is a tennis ball machine full of bull. And you cannot catch all of them. And she said a thing that, because I know you were talking on Twitter about the unelected bureaucrats in a basement. They're the ones that approve. I was like, what? No.
So the argument now from those who are in support of Hobby Lobby is, well, 16 forms of birth control are covered. That's the argument.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, but the 20 that we're talking about are the 20 that were approved by the FDA.
Right.
And the 4 are the ones that Hobby Lobby's owners find controversial because they don't
believe.
Yeah, they believe that contraception starts at, that life begins at fertilization, and that those are the ones that prevent if an egg and a sperm meet and like each other.
Oh, it's we're back in health class. Yes. Here's the fun facts from. She knows more about the lady bits than I do.
Are we going to see that Disney film, too? That's from 1940?
Here's the fun facts. Go ahead.
No, and they possibly could implant, and it stops them from possible. I mean, it's such a far-fetched explanation, as we all know. But that's what those 4 are, and why they find them controversial. So to turn around and go, yeah, but there's 16 others, it's like, well, maybe the IUD is best for some women.
Right.
Maybe perhaps that Plan B is a really good alternative.
Yeah.
So it's a ridiculous argument. And then Carly, of course, went on and on about how those those 20 or 16 were chosen by bureaucrats in a basement somewhere.
Right.
And I said, you know, unless the FDA qualifies as random bureaucrats in a basement somewhere, yeah. Then, yeah, okay.
The agency.
And the worst part is
that
everything that you said, she talked right over, and Candy did a really rotten job of moderating to allow people to be heard. So it was frustrating that you were making such
I love Candy Crowley. Let me just take a moment to say
I disagree
with Jackie Stechner. Go ahead.
But it was hard as a viewer to hear you because Carly kept talking over you and Candy didn't stop her.
That's what they all do. Every Republican, right, I've ever been on, that's their thing.
Yeah.
It's the Bruce Almighty.
It's like who can outshout the
other. They don't want to have a conversation. They just want to have a monologue.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is gonna freak them out. Women could be taking their birth control by a remote by 2018, Jackie.
Like a drone drops in your mouth?
No, no.
Like you can hit mute?
No.
Or
I wonder if it makes the sound like your car.
You can fast forward through it?
Yeah. Like a TiVo. Boop, boop, boop.
Boop, boop, boop. No, it's by remote birth control. I'm fascinated.
I got birth control. Millennial women. This is, I'm blinding you with science now. Millennial women may soon have a new high-tech birth control option that beats the daily pill, a small remote-operated implant that lasts up to 16 years and can be turned on and off over a wireless connection. How about that?
Okay, that seems treacherous.
Yeah.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who, you know.
That seems like it's robots taking over.
Is funding... Just hush. Is... funding a project that aims to explore new forms of birth control, and the remote control implant would be the first hormone-based option that lasts more than 5 years. Traditional birth control, obviously the pill and condoms, have proven to be less effective because of improper use. You have a friend working on this in, underdeveloped countries and stuff. Isn't, you know...
Brooke, you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, she's not working on birth control so much as she's working on, a medical health device that would allow you to use biometrics, like your fingerprint, to be able to pull up your medical information.
Right,
and
okay.
And it started researching, actually, the spread of AIDS in Africa and how to help thwart that.
Well, I was wildly inaccurate on that, and yet somehow in the ballpark.
I'm happy to throw it in there. It's great work she's doing.
Yeah.
We can talk about it at length at any time. I'm really fascinated and...
On
the advisory board, whatever that means.
Of course you are. You're on everyone's advisory board, including mine.
That's true. I am on your advisory board.
The wireless pill set to hit the market by 2018 with preclinical trials starting next year. Women would get the chip implanted under the skin of the upper arm, abdomen, or buttocks. Using a wireless remote, they would get their dose of hormone for up to 16 years with no need for refills. Why are you looking at me like that?
I can see a new pickup line. Hi, I want to control my remote.
Here, I'm going to give you my remote. Hey, how come I have Orange is the New Black in my...
Stephanie Miller.
In my... Oh, pardon me. I meant my...
Cooter.
Right. Patients would be able to stop the birth control at any time without making a trip to the doctor to get the implant removed. But as you sort of pointed out, the new project also raises some privacy and security concerns in that you could get hacked. Because the chip runs on a wireless connection, like many medical devices, it's vulnerable to hacking.
No, when someone tries to turn the channel to scandal, then it'll hack into your
my cooter.
Birth control.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, who hacked my cooter? Yeah.
I can't even imagine what they'd be trying to take. Like,
who
what
knows?
Could you get out
who
of
knows
something?
What's all up in there?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A 56 Buick?
What?
What?
No.
No.
All right. I have a Jackie Stacky. Just you hush down over there.
And the fun continues.
Yes.
I got to see Carl Frisch, by the way.
Have you ever met him?
We were like, of course. We're old friends. But we were like passing ships in the night. He was...
That's right. He was leaving.
Yeah.
You met his boyfriend?
I did for the first time. I told him I was a Facebook stalker and I'd seen all the pictures and I was so excited to see him so happy.
I know. And cute. And by the way, he's known you since you were helping Wolf Blitzer put his spank bank and porn collection together.
Oh, when I worked at CNN?
Right.
Yeah.
You taught him how to use the internet.
Basically.
Most guys use it for porn.
Well, yeah, no, Wolf did not know what a blog was. Neither did Jack Cafferty.
Well, Jack Cafferty doesn't know what the internet is.
I don't get it, Jackie.
When I started, when we started on CNN, we actually pitched a blogging 101 to Wolf. Because we thought that would be a really cool thing to do on the air because nobody really knew what it was.
Right.
Did he ever say,
do we have to know this?
Yeah. No, but that would have been cool.
Will this be on a test?
And now, of course, he's like, follow me on Twitter and read my blog. But he had no idea when I started. That was a big thing, was to teach the two of them, especially Wolf, what a blog was and how to blog.
I still don't get it.
Yes, you do. Now you're like all
you
over
tweet.
The Facebook.
Yeah, you're like...
No, I'm not on the Facebook.
Not Facebook, Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You're way too prolific on Twitter now.
Yeah.
You're starting to annoy people
I'm very
now.
Retweety.
You are very retweety. I like to. I think I have the smartest, funniest listeners in the world.
You don't have to retweet.
Hey, mom, they want their mama's approval. Good one.
You don't have to retweet everything everybody sends you.
Only if it's important or you really, 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 really like it.
I really like everything.
Edit a little.
Because I'm happy clappy. You shush.
I love Twitter. I can't get into Instagram, but I love Twitter.
Yeah. I was talking about this story yesterday, but, you and I have talked about the Medicaid expansion over and over, but here we go with the, you know, the people who believe in traditional marriage. Tennessee's refusal to expand Medicaid forced this couple to get divorced. 33 years they've been married. Larry and Linda Drain were happily married for more than 33 years. The only reason they're now living apart is because they no longer, they have no other way to ensure Linda can get the medical care she needs for her epilepsy thanks to their lawmakers' decision to resist implementing Obamacare. So, you know, and it goes through all the details of why, because, you know, they fall in the coverage gap and yada, yada. But, you know, I mean, as we've talked about many times, this is just a disgrace. We talked about this recent study. As many as 17,000 people will die directly as a result of their states refusing to expand Medicaid.
Yeah, this is a problem that we've seen for years is with the health insurance market. People either who get married too soon because they need access to health insurance or people who are forced to get divorced because there's no access to coverage if they're still married. And there's so many problems with the system the way it is. These are just some of them. And, you know, expansion of Medicaid as part of the law would have worked for these people, and unfortunately,
I mean, it's in America. It's a disgrace. Linda's gone to desperate lengths to remain eligible for TennCare. She split from her husband to avoid hitting the monthly household income limit. Sometimes stays in a homeless shelter in Knoxville. Meanwhile, Larry continues to live in the apartment that they once shared together. I mean, and he's written, like, what did we say yesterday, like 44 letters to the Republican governor, no response.
Just asking to meet
meet, you know, that this is having, this is just one of, I'm sure, thousands and thousands of stories like this.
Well, where's the compassion? I mean, you get a letter like that, why do you not open it and say, you know what, let's take this meeting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's just an example.
He said 1,000 things, little things have been ripped away from us, little things that people do. You know, I mean, it's those kind of stories that you were saying, like even Glenn Beck having empathy for these kids at the border and going to help. You know, like, is there a point where we're not partisan on some issues that are just human? Like, does anyone think that's good? That a couple married 33 years has to divorce for no other reason than because of, you know, the Medicaid expansion.
No, it's a great tragedy that fixing our healthcare system became partisan and political, because there are just some really good policy answers and policy solutions to making the system we have here in the U.S. better. They don't have to be partisan. It doesn't have to be Democrat or Republican. They can just be good solutions. But the problem is a lot of them have been labeled and demonized under some sort of cloud of political partisanship, and we're not paying attention to the actual nuances of what works and what doesn't work. And that's what's really sad about the fight. At least when I first started, it was sad for me, and I said this over and over again, because I didn't come into the fight for healthcare from a political angle. I was a journalist forever and ever. I was a registered independent. You know, I knew who I liked when it came time to vote or what social issues I was invested in, but at the same time, it didn't have to be. I mean, you could have come to me and said, we've got an incredible solution, and it came from a Republican. I would have been like, fine, let's fix it. Let's just make this better.
Yeah.
It turned out that what we were working on came from a progressive push,
right,
because those are the policies that work best for the bulk of the American public.
Although it was Bob Dole's plan, and it came from the Heritage Foundation originally. So it was originally a Republican idea. It was Romney Care. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a... I gotta talk to you. Michael Hiltzik every week has a piece I need to talk to you about.
Okay.
But he's mentions that this could be the way to single payer, and you know, because of Hobby Lobby and all that. So let's talk about that. Who's smart and funny and also so pretty in pink? Jackie Schechner is.
You are.
Thank you. This is a new color for me. I'm trying it out.
It works.
So beautiful.
I'm seeing if it works.
It works.
We'll see.
18
Somebody
minutes.
Screen grab it, send it to me, then we'll know.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Go ahead, laugh out loud in your cubicle. Everyone already thinks you're a left-wing lunatic anyway. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Can I get up? Can I get up? Can I get up? Ow! Ow!
I get it. You're playing a spinning song because Jackie's here.
Yeah.
My fellow spin aficionado.
If meth had a music, this would be it.
If meth had a music.
That's what Jim said. If meth had a sound, this would be it.
Did you guys hear that story about the call girl who killed the guy with heroin?
From Google?
With what? Oh, with heroin, yeah.
Yeah, she killed like a top-level Google exec.
Yeah.
She was on his yacht.
Yeah.
I guess she Googled how to do that, sadly.
They found each other online, that Seeking Arrangements website, allegedly.
And heroin was involved in the arrangement, so, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and the article is crazy. Apparently, she's possibly linked to another heroin overdose.
Oh, yeah, and security cameras on the boat caught her, just kind of stepping over the body, picking up a glass of wine, drinking it, then leaving.
She didn't help him. He was dying, and she just walked away.
Yeah.
Listen, I gotta be with her there. If there was somebody in the way, I might go for the wine.
You might go for the wine. Yeah.
Yes,
It's a toss-up.
Body's always getting in the way.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Jackie Schechner, we were talking about, we've obviously been talking about Hobby Lobby. Michael Hiltzik piece. Yes, because we've talked about this over and over again about single payer. But he has a piece called A Single Payer System Startup with the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision last week strengthening the control that business owners can exercise over their employees' health plans. It has become clearer than ever the best way to deliver health coverage to most Americans is to remove it entirely from the workplace, which I know you agree with. But he says, in other words, a single payer program, which the government pays for all health care, talks about, obviously, Britain, France, Canada, Medicaid and Medicare here in the U.S. He says the problem is, Ezra Klein suggests, among others, is that it raises the specter of unrestrained political interference in health care decisions. A Republican-led government could decide that taxpayer dollars shouldn't be going to, to cover contraception at all. Then a single-payer system means no one's insurance covers contraception, Klein wrote. This is one of single-payer's real problems. Hilson disagrees, though. He said this is an important issue. Americans gain nothing if they evict insurance bureaucrats from the operating room only to make room for preening politicians. But experience in the U.S. and abroad suggests this concern is overwrought. What do you think?
Oh, single-payer is so tricky politically. I mean, we have such a strong medical industrial complex in this country, and the insurance companies make so much money, and the way the medical system's set up right now, there's so much opportunity to, I would say, like, grab as much money as possible out of the system that it's hard to get those. I imagine, like, fingers kind of clamped around, and you have to pry
death
the
grip.
Fingers off. And it's really politically impossible to do, unfortunately, because I obviously would love to see a system where we just had doctors and patients, and there was no bureaucracy of any sort involved, because now the bureaucracy obviously is the insurance industry, which decides what you can and can't have and what's deemed a viable treatment. But, I mean, I love the fact that we see all of these as possibilities towards a single-payer system. I just don't think realistically that's what's going to be the tipping point.
He's not saying tomorrow, and he's saying political issues like abortion and contraception, of course, will always going to be political footballs. He says single-payer does have many virtues and it does have some problems, but under our current system, post-Hobby Lobby, scientifically uninformed employers can interfere in the medical decisions of thousands of their workers. Obviously, that's the worst of all possible worlds. Single-payer's problems, however, are either resolvable or conjectural. While its virtues are manifest, we should keep our eye on those and worry about the problems when the time comes. And again, he's not saying tomorrow, but
I'm not against uncoupling health insurance from the workplace. I don't think that's a bad idea, but you have to figure out a way to do it that doesn't upend the entire system the way it is now. You have to do it in a gradual manner where it doesn't put an undue burden on individuals who are now getting their health insurance through work. You just look at it as this big monstrosity of a complicated system that we have, and if you're going to start making some changes, you got to figure out, how each affects the other, and it's a real political quagmire in some respects. So policy, is one thing, and politics is another, and the way our system works, sadly, is that the politics too often dictate the policy.
Hey, this will come as a complete shock to you. It turns out the second part of the repeal and replace on the Republican side of replace turns out to be total bull.
Again?
Yes. The House Republicans despise Obamacare. Voting to replace it seemed like an election year no-brainer.
Right.
And they only spent over $50 million on it, taxpayer money. Hmm. 6 months into the campaign, they're still trying to craft an alternative. Remember, this is the replace part. Republicans are divided over whether they should commit to a specific plan before November and precisely what policies a GOP health bill should include.
We're pretending like we haven't been through this.
Right.
I mean, in 2008, John McCain had to put together some sort of plan to run on. I mean, we know what
right.
the Republican...
Right, they've got nothing. Yeah.
It's the same thing over and over and over mm-hmm. again. We're just regurgitating the same policies we know wouldn't be effective and aren't going to cover people and aren't going to get the uninsured the help they need and the insured more affordable coverage.
And another health expert said the traditional elements of the Republican health agenda are weak tea. I mean, they're just, it's the same
tort
stuff
reform,
we have.
Yeah. Selling buying insurance. Across state lines, which totally strips you of consumer protections. I mean, it's the same stuff. We've been over this. It's exhausting. Let's get a new argument at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's just, I think politically, they're thinking, oh, we should put something so it doesn't look like we're for nothing.
But they are
but
for
you
nothing.
Are.
On,
but you are,
on
Blanche.
This, they are for nothing. They right. would just like to take it away because it was created by the president and they don't like the president. So.
That's
yep.
right.
Yep, exactly.
It's not that complicated.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, we roll along Jackie's Healthcare Corner as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Take a drink and you'll sink to a state of pure inebriation.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jackie Schechner, journalist, hi. Healthcare expert extraordinaire, live in the studio. And so beautiful today.
That's right.
Thank you.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
I like summer clothes. I'm all about... I would say stripping down, but that sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds like something you do with the itchy
now.
Kitty.
Hello now. Mark in North Carolina, you're on with Jackie. Hello.
Hello. I'm on speakerphone. Let me get it.
Okay. How rude.
Anyway.
Yes, go ahead.
Anyways, yeah, I just wanted to salute you all for doing all that you do, keeping the humor going, keeping the entertainment going. It's
thank
excellent.
You.
I really appreciate it.
Thank
I did
you.
Pirate radio, and we warned you all back in the day about this. So, but yeah, it's great to see that you all are keeping it and going.
Thank you.
I actually have a question for Jackie.
All right.
From a friend. Hello?
Yes,
go
here?
Ahead. All right.
Am I still here?
I think that's enough preamble. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, it's too low on this end. Anyways, yeah, I have a friend who is trying to have a surgery. Her insurance company is denying it, and she said it just took time. Is that the only answer that you have? It's just going to take time for the insurance company? She got an MRI, but it took time. Is that just what we have to deal with now?
I'm not sure I understand. Like, the insurance company is denying her access to it?
She's gone for a couple of opinions. And the insurance company just jerked her around a little bit the first time for her to get an MRI for her foot, where a sports medicine doctor recommended surgery, and it was the best opinion. So does this stuff take time, or is there anything that she could do, any website she can go to move or pressure the insurance company to just do it?
I think, unfortunately, right now what you have to do is be your own best advocate. With the insurance company, I tell people this all the time, they are built around trying to deny you coverage. They make more money the more right. frustrated you get. So when you get a bill that you need to contest, you know, they will intentionally put you into a phone tree where you get so frustrated you just pay it. It's actually, I've talked with Wendell Potter, the former
right.
health insurance communications mm-hmm. guy about this a lot, is that there are a lot of systems that are built in to get you to the point where you just give up and do what they want you to do. So if you're getting denials, I would continue to push, always escalate, always ask for a manager, always ask for a supervisor. Putting the word out on social media is always helpful. Really continue to be a thorn in their side to be able to get the access that you need. I would not give up on it. If there's a medical incident or emergency or something that you need that your insurance company is denying the opportunity to have or pay for,
right.
Continue to. I mean, talk about the utmost bureaucrats there at that point. You know, they're telling you that something your doctor says you need, you can't have.
I got a hate letter from my CNN appearance the other day
oh.
that I'm going to Well, it's a hate word in which I'm not called the C word, which is right away progress, but I'm going to let you answer. Because guess what, Chris? It is a small business owner that just stumbled across me on CNN.
Of course.
That has to listen to both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hi, Stephanie. I saw you on Candy Crowley the other morning. Was so confused by your argument that Hobby Lobby should provide women with 20 forms of birth control instead of 16. Like, that is part of some ridiculous war on women. What is wrong with 16? That seems like an awful lot of contraception for free.
Oh,
for free? Lord, no. Lord. People pay into this system. It's not solely the employer that pays into it.
You pay your premiums.
Right.
Your employer may contribute.
You pay your copay.
Right. Your employer may contribute.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But nothing's free. There's no such thing as free birth control.
I am pro-choice and independent voter, not religious. My husband and I, who own a small business.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Of course. Seem to be paying for all this free stuff for everyone else. We can't see the doctor.
Small businesses aren't required to... No. Okay.
I sit on hold with Anthem for hours at a time, and nothing is covered anymore.
What? That has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
That has to do... Actually, more is covered now that the Affordable Care Act's in place because there are the 10 essential health benefits that they have to cover.
Right.
But nothing's covered, then be upset with your insurance company.
Yeah.
And your rude and sarcastic comments to Carly Fiorina were downright disrespectful. Lori and her small business-owning husband.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Now,
Carly Fiorina, warm, cuddly, me,
yes.
Rude.
Yeah, no, I see that.
All right.
What's wrong with 16 versus...
So yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. It was so Sunday. Okay. Bob in Orange County, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Aww.
Oh, Bob, you've missed your turn and it'll never
Bob.
Be the same again. Bobby in Oregon, you're on with Jackie.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, bearded Google guy.
Hey.
Hey, Stephanie, this is your trucker buddy, Bobby. I'm actually parked right now. If I blew my air horn, you would definitely hear it.
Awesome. Awesome. Do it.
You should record it so you could put it in your box.
We're recording.
Do it.
Okay, here goes.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's hot.
Okay.
Jackie, I heard that Vermont... legislature has voted to go to a single payer system. What do you know about this? What are the chances of success? And if it does succeed, what are the chances of it spreading to the rest of the country?
I don't know the details. I have to take a closer look at it, but that sounds about right, that I know that they're working their way towards a single payer system. I'd love to see that take off across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Vermont happens to be a lot more progressive than most other states.
And it's also it's a
smaller
battleship to turn around.
Exactly.
Than a state like California.
It's a teeny tiny ship to
it
turn
is
around.
A teeny
you can
tiny
fit
ship.
It in a bottle.
But I will say that spending time in Vermont is a lovely place, and they've got it right in some ways.
Yeah.
It's also incredibly cold. But the syrup
is yummy.
Yeah, no, it's delicious. But they have made steps in that direction. I'm not totally, to be honest with you, up on the specifics of where they are in the legislature there. But I'd love to see that. I mean, to me, that would be a really good step in the right direction. I mean, look at the Massachusetts healthcare plan, and they use that as the model for our national health care reform. Perhaps if we get close someday to being able to have some sort of single-payer system and it works in Vermont, we can take a look at how it's reduced cost and increased care and use that as a model going forward. It's just going to take a while. Look how polarized we are as a country.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree, though, that Donald Sterling is... Is she making their case for him, for them, that he is... That, are you following this? Because you're here in L.A. with us. This is...
Wasn't he walked out of court or something?
Well, he did not show up the first day.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, right. And then yesterday he was crying about how much he loved his wife. Day before, and then yesterday she was a pig.
Oh.
Yes.
Does
Donald
he have
Sterling
dementia?
Vows he'll never sell a team, calls his wife a pig.
I thought they diagnosed him with some sort of dementia.
Oh, they did. But
okay.
But he says the person that diagnosed him was drunk.
Oh, good. Okay. That was V. Stiviano, is that...
Yeah, no, that's not the doctor.
Oh, that's the doctor. Sorry.
A raging Donald Sterling denounced his wife, her lawyers, and the NBA from the witness stand Wednesday. Are you following this? This is really just a crazy parade. Vowing a lifetime of lawsuits against the league. He said, make no mistake today. He shouted, I will never, ever sell this team until I die. I'll be suing the NBA for this blah, 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 blah. He was followed to the stand by his wife, Shelley, who tried to approach him in the front row of the courtroom after she was done for the day. And he shouted, get away from me, you pig!
I shouldn't laugh at this, but
no,
I mean, come on.
This is... He began his testimony by saying he loved his wife, the aforementioned pig.
Okay.
but then denounced her. He said that she told him to have psychiatric and neurological exams only because he turned 80 and he was concerned. She was concerned for his health. He said she deceived me. I trusted her. I never thought a wife wouldn't stand for her husband. When would that ever happen when there's billions of dollars at stake? That's nuts.
And the fact that he was boinking somebody else?
Right. Well, there's that.
Someone with a visor.
In a visor.
I see a lot of those visors now, actually, down on the beach. Like people who, I've seen it on a woman who drives one of those pedicabs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I guess it's protecting yourself from the sun.
Sure. I think she's a dancer welder, is what I think.
Sure.
Flashdance.
I was in Chinatown. In San Francisco a couple of weeks ago.
See a bunch of them too?
I saw a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, delicate skin. Before she made the deal, two doctors examined Donald Sterling, declared him mentally incapacitated. Sterling said he was certain his wife had never read the family trust because it was too complicated for her to understand.
Oh.
Who would have thought that he is not a feminist? That is really shocking. He's a chick. She can't understand it.
It's a lot of words.
So he doesn't like the blacks and the chicks. Okay.
He's a lovely. And he's single now? Is that what
Yeah, he's single now. Is there good
He's
news?
On the market.
Right.
Snap him up, ladies, before he...
Get him. Get it. Danette in Georgia, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Danette.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. Stephanie and
Irma Gerd. Me too. Go ahead.
Hi. I cannot handle it. Hello. I don't have a healthcare question, except maybe more of a statement that maybe the Republicans should stop refusing health care and go get mental health with the free health care that everybody is paying, because nobody pays insurance premiums because it's all free, because we live in a free world and everybody pays. And I also want to say that Ted Cruz is an idiot, because he doesn't understand that the DREAM Act is for people that were born here, and if you're bringing your children here, that means they're already born, which means they were born in another country. And so they really don't qualify for that. Right. And,
Yeah, he needs to go back where he came from. Friggin' Canuck.
Calgary.
Right?
Sheesh.
That'll boot him being here and in the Senate, eh?
The immigration debate is so infuriating. We're a country built on immigrants.
Yes.
I mean, you know, unless your family came over on the, and even then you're an immigrant. You came over on the Mayflower. I mean, everybody here.
An immigrant is people, immigrants that like grits.
Immigrant.
That's different.
Immigrant. Immigrant. What did I say?
Immigrant.
Immigrant. That's a good one. I'm going to use that. That's my word of the day.
They're also foreign egrets, the little birds that immigrant. Are on rhinoceroses. But, okay.
Immigrant.
The ones that, like, eat the little bugs off the
Yeah, head. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Immigrant.
Exactly. We're just trying to save Jackie.
I love that.
Tom in Oregon, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, this is kind of a complicated question, and I'll keep it as short as possible, but I'm in Oregon, and so far I've got three determinations on what my income would be. And when you're, say, about $50,000, when you're married, you get an automatic adjusted gross income down to about $41,000. And then Oregon wants to say after deductions. Well, deductions brings it down to $21,000. In my case, exemptions would bring it down, my taxable income, down to $12,000. So... What, and then when you look at the IRS, they say modified income. What numbers is the IRS actually going to use? Because it makes even $1,000 here and there makes such a difference in your deductibles. Yeah, my deductible can go anywhere from $2,500 down to $50. I would rather owe the government money, lowball it somehow, and owe the government the money paid, you know, to have it taken out of my taxes, rather than having overpaying the insurance company
We have about a minute here, so go ahead, Jack.
Oh, I'll just say that the way that they base it, from what I understand, is on whatever you filed for your income taxes last year. I know it's really tricky, and I know that it does definitely vary dependent on how that's adjusted. But the best advice that I've seen so far is that you take the number that you end up filing as your adjusted income based on your income tax return. Mm-hmm. Like whatever you filed. Whatever the IRS has, that's the number that you go with, and then they'll adjust it accordingly in the coming years.
Okay, awesome. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Pretty in Pink. Jackie Sheffner.
Aww.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here's what's exciting.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a member of my indoor bike gang, SoulCycle, Jackie Schechner, and Craig is part of my outdoor bike gang, and I just want to prove that I do not wear the most garish bike shirts.
No,
although, move over a little bit because her ass is in your way. There you go.
Her ass is always in my way.
You guys have to explain this to me. Are you sponsored? Like, why the... Does Volvo sponsor you?
No, we should be getting some cash, though, right?
Yeah.
So why the bike gear that's always got, like, some sort of sponsorship on it if you're not actually in a race being sponsored?
I can look like I'm sponsored.
Does it make you ride faster?
Well, I think aerodynamically, probably, yes.
The lettering, certain letters make you go faster.
Well, but no, you're not in a race.
Bike dorks. Wait, Nathan, come over here. Why aren't you wearing a bike, a garish bike shirt? What?
How's he supposed to do his job? He's there working.
Nathan, your sides are on the printer.
All right.
I think Nathan's anti-bike stuff. Yeah. He used to work at a bike shop.
Yeah, so he's like a beatnik. He's like a bohemian. He's like, I'm just wearing a t-shirt. Greg and I are like hardcore bike dorks.
I think he recognizes you're not in a race. You don't need all that aerodynamics.
I know. It makes you feel cooler, right?
And shaving my legs makes me more aerodynamic, too.
Also makes you more masculine.
Does it?
He's smooth. I can attest. He's smooth as a baby's ass. Okay. All right. Thanks, Greg. See ya.
Thanks, Greg.
Can you go pump my tires? Thanks. Love you.
Is that a euphemism, or do you really need air in your tires?
I need him to pump me, though, for sure. My tires.
What is with you?
I don't know.
You've been talking about penises a lot lately.
Penises haven't changed, have they?
No, they're
I haven't seen one in a while.
No, they're the same. They haven't changed.
Okay, see? You're trying to trick me. They do not spin now, and they do not look like Christmas trees. He's trying to make me feel like I'm missing out on something.
No, they haven't evolved. There is some more manscaping now, though.
He claims they're different than in the 80s.
No, there's more manscaping.
There's more manscaping.
Hmm. Which makes them look larger, I suppose, right?
That's the idea.
I have a horrible story. I've seen one more recently. It was highly inappropriate. No, I shouldn't tell the story.
No, you can't.
Now you have to tell.
You can't
the story.
Drop that bomb and run. You have to own up to it.
Actually, this will titillate people. It was a former executive at where we used to work at Clear Channel, long time ago. Anyway, so he was. No, not here thinking of.
Okay.
He was a friend of my ex. Anyway, so I had always heard by legend that he was quite...
hung.
Well endowed.
Right. Yes. And so one night, after we had all been out to sushi, and he was like, all right, I'm just going to show you, because I was joking. We were joking with him. And he took it out in the parking lot, and he put it on the hood of the car. Just... And it really was. I was like, wow, that's... Holy moly, that is a fire hose. Congratulations, nicely done, sir.
Did he know that you were
gay?
Okay.
Yes. I was there with my girlfriend at the time, yes, who was his friend. Okay, so
I
he
hope
did.
It's not who I think it
no,
is.
No, guys, you know, because women have a little modesty. Guys, you'll just like,
wait,
you want to see it?
Have you seen Girls Gone Wild? I think women have modesty.
Yeah.
Some.
I know, but guys, just all you have to do is ask. It's like, okay.
The girls are giving
it
up
is.
For beads.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you been to Mardi Gras?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Like plastic beads?
Right.
$8 for $1?
Yeah, that you're going to throw away the next day.
Did I tell you the story? My friend went to Mardi Gras and came back with a bunch of pictures, and he brought them into where we were working at the time, because that's appropriate. And the boss looked at the photos and went, did all the pretty girls stay home?
Oh!
Oh!
Well, looky here, Jackie. Two new studies are bad news for people who dislike Obamacare. Survey from the Commonwealth Fund found, as other studies have, the nation's uninsured rate has dropped 25% since the implementation of ACA. Another study by Brookings Institute says the slew of anti-Obamacare ads may have backfired, both by increasing awareness about the law and scaring eligible applicants into signing up before Congress repealed it.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere at this point. Yeah. And I'm seeing more and more good news come out. I mean, obviously it doesn't get the attention that the bad news does, because if it bleeds, it leads. And
right.
If it's happy, clappy news, it doesn't. But I did see that we've reduced the number of uninsured. I think it was from 20% to 15%.
Yeah.
And then there was another write-up, I think Ezra Klein had it in Vox, about how Medicare The cost of Medicare per beneficiary has gone down about $1,000 per beneficiary.
But you're right. People like dirty laundry.
Yeah.
So it's, people like it when you lose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the fact that all of this good stuff is now happening, and, you know, it's happening in a vacuum because, unfortunately, more people watch Fox News than any of the other channels, and what's coming out there isn't news but propaganda.
Yeah.
99.99 Yeah. 99.9% of the time. Thank you. I'll get it right.
You know, I was struck by sitting there next to Candy Crowley this last Sunday on CNN, and I thought, I remember how much crap she took from our friends right in right-wing radio and the right-wing media for pointing out the fact to Mitt Romney that the president had called Benghazi an act of terror the day after.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's that whole thing about facts have a well-known liberal bias. And the reason Mitt Romney fell into that trap, or bear hole, as I like to call it, it's like turn off Fox News because he watched Fox News. He assumed it was true.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's. I did tell you. I think I told last time that I had somebody who contacted me and said they wanted to get into the exchange, but they heard that Obamacare was oversold and there weren't enough doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that's a good new talking point because it's not an insurance plan and it's, you know, that's ridiculous. But I had to come out of somewhere. It didn't come out of thin air. So it's a talking point somebody somewhere has regurgitated. And that becomes somebody's fake truth.
Exactly. Denise, fake truth. That's so cute. It's like Carly Fiorina calling me counterfactual.
Oh, as opposed to a liar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the nicest C word I was called all weekend. Denise in Chicago, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Stephanie and Jackie. I'm so glad you're on today because I just got on to Medicaid for the expansion. And then as of July 1st, I was put on to a new plan. My frustration, and let me just state that I'm...
You know what, honey? We are out of time. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I did not see the time.
You know what? Send me a note on Twitter.
Yes.
Or on Facebook.
Jackie Schechner, at Jackie Schechner.
At Jackie Schechner, Jackie Schechner TV on Facebook. Yep. And we can continue this conversation.
I love you.
I love you guys, too.
You're awesome.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie
Miller Show.